world of cheeses, deliciously made for you and me. Flavors like provolone and brie, each with its own ethnicity. So many cheeses.
Every time you drink a glass of milk, bite into a piece of cheesy pizza, or eat a yogurt with lunch, you are contributing to Wisconsin's massive dairy economic engine. And since June is Dairy Month, now is a good time to talk about what dairy means to our state and how we, as Wisconsinites, can enjoy it to the fullest. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent in for the Joy Cardine Show. When was the last time you sampled cheese and said, "Whoa, where is that from?" More often than not, it's probably made right here in Wisconsin. Suzanne Fanning is Vice President of National Product Communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. The Madison-based nonprofit promotes milk, cheese, and other dairy products made here in the state. Suzanne, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Well, give us a little bit of the backstory. What's the goal here behind June Dairy Month? What do you want us to get out of it?
Well, June Dairy Month actually started as like National Milk Month back in 1937, and it was a way to promote drinking milk. It was first created to like stabilize dairy demand when production was at a surplus, but now it's just an annual tradition to really celebrate all the different contributions that dairy makes to our country, and particularly the ones that they make in Wisconsin. So for us here in Wisconsin, June Dairy Month is huge, and we celebrate it in a variety of different ways. And farm breakfasts are one of the most fun celebrations that we have.
All right. So what are farm breakfasts?
So every single weekend in June, and also a little bit in May and July, consumers across the state can go eat breakfast actually on a farm. The farmers set up these huge tents. They have tons of volunteers out there. They make a really delicious breakfast. There's cheese served. There are all kinds of activities like little face tattoos, photo ops. There are some of the celebrities of the dairy industry. There's live music, face painting, little tractor rides, all kinds of fun things. And for some people in Wisconsin, it's their only chance to really ever get on a dairy farm.
What would I be eating at the farm breakfast?
You know, it's funny because they are all different. It's some of them. I went last weekend to Greene County, and I just had like a mountain of eggs and some brats and huge plates of cheese and chocolate milk and orange juice, all kinds of delicious things. I know the one the weekend before that, folks had a waffle bar. They went and they got there and they said, "Oh, well, there are waffles." But then they started eating and they said, "These waffles changed our lives." I think farmers know how to eat, and so all the breakfasts are a little bit different, but from what I've heard, they are all completely delicious.
So there are dozens of breakfasts that are going on, tens of thousands of people who go to these breakfasts. How can I find one near me?
We put together a site called Dairy Days of Summer. So if you go to Dairy Days of Summer, you can either put in the location that you want to go to, or you can put in a weekend that you want to find a breakfast, and it'll automatically find a breakfast, and it'll pull up all of the details for you, from what they're serving to what the parking situation is like to just a little bit of history about the farm. So Dairy Days of Summer is what you want to go to.
Why do you think these farm breakfasts are important?
Well, for Wisconsin, I think it's important for people to realize what dairy actually means to our state. So dairy is actually a $43.4 billion industry for Wisconsin. And just to put it in perspective, that's four times as big as oranges are to Florida.
That's huge.
That's huge.
And Governor Scott Walker recently signed legislation designating cheese the official state dairy product. Where did the idea for this legislation come from?
Oh, that's such a great story. I love that one. That actually came from a fourth grade class in Mineral Point, Wisconsin. And they were working on a school project, and they decided that this is something that they really believed in. They all love cheese. And when they looked into it and realized that cheese was not one of the official symbols, they thought they had to make it right. So they worked with their teacher, and they wrote it up, and they sent it in. And it's kind of been in the works for a while. We heard about it and thought it was great. One of our folks went down and visited the class. class and talked to them about cheese after that. So they had a lot of fun. And we were very excited when it was actually accepted. We went to Mineral Point for the signing of the bill. A lot of cheese companies from Wisconsin came out to say thank you and brought cheese samples. It was an incredible extravaganza that was all started by some fourth graders that had what I think is a remarkable idea.
Yeah,
so we're very excited.
Cheese is huge. Billions of pounds of cheese are produced here each year. There's such a variety, so much cheese out there. How do you begin to sample it, to eat it, to find it, and to know what you like and what you don't?
Well, I think the key is really to be adventurous, to kind of step away from some of the normal things that you see every day. We have some sort of gateway cheeses, so you have kind of the normal things that most people will try, which would be like some of your cheddars and provolones. But then now there are so many great flavor cheddars, so that's a great gateway cheese. So you start trying a little bit of smoked cheddar, you start trying a little bit of Gouda, and then you get into some of the really exciting and exotic cheeses. Wisconsin does have, and, you know, I'll say Wisconsin makes the best cheese in the world, and that's actually backed up because we currently hold the world championship for the best cheese. That's one of the Emmy Ross cheeses. And more recently, we won the U.S. cheese championship with a cheese from Sartori. So we literally have the best cheese in the world and the best cheese in the U.S. So it's pretty amazing.
How much of our dairy industry is made up of cheese?
Well, in Wisconsin, 90% of the milk that we produce goes to making cheese.
Wow. That's, yeah. So that's really a lot of it going into that production then. So during Dairy Month, how can we find cheese-related events if we're really into cheese?
Well, there's cheese at every single dairy breakfast event, that's for sure. And you'll see more of that on Dairy Days of Summer, too.
And you can find the DairyDaysOfSummer.com on our Facebook page. We have a link to that up as well. We're talking right now with Suzanne Fanning. She's Vice President of National Product Communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. We are talking about June, that is Dairy Month, taking a tour of our state on where we can go to get the finest dairy products here in Wisconsin during June Dairy Month. If you have been to a farm breakfast, give us a call, 800-642-1234. Where did you go? What did you do? Did you milk a cow? What did you learn? 800-642-1234. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Suzanne, you've been at the dairy business quite a long time. Where do you see it heading in the future for Wisconsin? Where is dairy going?
Well, I know that consumption of specialty cheese is definitely rising. That's something we're seeing for sure. And about 25% of the cheese in America is made by Wisconsin. We make about 3 billion pounds annually. And so for us at the Milk Marketing Board, we definitely see that as a huge trend. And consumers all over the country have a growing respect for Wisconsin cheese, and it certainly is our hope to grow that even more.
What is specialty cheese? Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, so that would be some of the cheeses that aren't like the normal cheeses that perhaps you would eat as a child on your sandwiches. So it gets more into some of the things like the black pepper Bella Vitano or some of the cheeses like the Grand Cru Chersois, the Pleasant Ridge Reserve, all of those kind of cheeses. Because what's great about Wisconsin is that we have a program for master cheesemakers, and it's the only one of its kind outside of Europe. And we really encourage these folks to just experiment and innovate. And we have a lot of freedom here in Wisconsin. We definitely color outside the lines, and that's what makes it so delicious, because these guys are scientists and they're artists. And a lot of them are third and fourth generation cheesemakers. So they've had lots of traditions that have been brought over from Europe. And they are just, the specialty cheese business for us is just really exploding.
I know. I love dill in my cheese. And that seems to be very tame, perhaps even mundane addition to cheese. What are some more of the zany things that these cheesemakers are adding to cheeses?
Well, there are something that's really on the rise is like sort of the hot pepper cheeses and things like that. So you're seeing lots of people with some fun hot peppers, and that is something that's growing quite a bit. We're seeing huge rise in that. But you could put any kind of flavor. I mean, dill is certainly a respectable one to put in your cheese. I was walking through Costco last night, and they were sampling some horseradish cheese from Wisconsin, and that was delicious as well. So lots of fun mix-ins. We were recently at the IDDBA show, and we had cheese that had some blueberries in it, so fruit in it, so fruit and some peppers and certain flavorings. The other thing we're seeing is sort of a lot of hybrid cheeses, so they'll mix like two different kinds of cheese in one. So just lots of fun things, lots of experimentation happening. It's changing every day.
We're talking all things dairy this hour with Suzanne Fanning. She's Vice President of National Product Communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. According to the State Department of Agriculture, our dairy producers create more than 600 types, styles, and varieties of cheese. What cheese is your favorite? Join in the discussion at 800-642-1234 or post your comments on Wisconsin Dairy on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll be back in a moment right after this news. Wisconsin's dairy industry employs almost 80,000 people in the state, and there's a whole multiplier effect going on. Dairy is big business for Wisconsin. We're learning about its dairy products this hour during Dairy Month. June is Dairy Month. I'm Kate Archer-Kent in for the Joy Cardine Show. Have you visited a dairy farm? What was your impression? What did you learn? What did you sample? Can you guess the average weight of a dairy cow? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We have lines open on this Dairy Month edition. And you can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Suzanne Fanning is our guide to dairy experiences around our state. She's Vice President of the National Product Communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Suzanne, before we went to break, you were talking about hybrid cheeses. What are hybrid cheeses?
So there are a few different kinds of hybrid cheeses. We're seeing people combine. I mean, you've seen like Colby Jack and things like that, but they're picking a lot of really interesting combinations and putting them together. So those are kind of fun ones to eat. There are also a lot of mixed milk cheeses. So while I'm obviously particularly a fan of cow's milk cheeses, we're seeing cow's milk cheeses that are also having a little bit of sheep's or goat's milk in them as well. So just kind of fun combinations that excite the palate. And, you know, when you put them on your cheese board for a party, they make your guests go, wow, what is this? And so that's kind of what I like. It's something that keeps your folks in your house guessing what you're serving.
Do you have a favorite dairy product, or do you wish to divulge?
You know what? I like them all, and I think that's the beauty of it, because I feel like every single day I can have a snack that's a little bit different, and that's why I think I have the best job in the world, because all of these cheesemakers actually do love for us to sample their stuff. They'll come by, they'll visit with us, they'll tell us some of the stories behind their brand, behind a particular cheese. And for us, kind of the way that we feel, it's that, you know, it's not even just about selling cheese, it's about giving a little piece of the story. And so when tourists come to Wisconsin and get the cheese and hear the story, they love to take it back and unwrap it and tell the story of the incredible Wisconsin cheesemaker that they met, or how they met the only master cheesemaker that still makes Limburger cheese in Wisconsin. Just all kinds of fun stories coming out of our state.
You mentioned before that cheesemakers now can go through a very rigorous schooling process to become a cheesemonger, if you will. And there is a lot of education involved that is a very difficult level to achieve. Do you think that has contributed to where we are today in what Wisconsin is producing in dairy, in cheese?
Oh, it absolutely has. There are so many things that contribute to where we are today. One thing that we continuously hear from these cheesemakers is that they settled in Wisconsin because of the quality of the milk. So one piece of it is definitely going to be the milk. The other piece of it certainly is the Master Cheesemaker program. I think the network and the camaraderie that our cheesemakers have is just unparalleled, because they are very good friends and they do help each other, and that's absolutely wonderful to see. And then it's because of the amount that we really invest as a state and as an organization in research and education. And so we help fund the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison, and a lot of the fantastic cheeses are actually started right there. Or along the way, they've kind of sought help from CDR, or they've gone through some kind of training from the Center for Dairy Resource. And so it is an incredible program. I recently did a one-week program called World of Cheese down there, and it was phenomenal how much I learned and how much cheese I tasted.
So you find that there is a pretty big learning curve to making cheese, if someone would want to even take a step foot, you know, into that idea of making cheese? There's a lot to learn?
There's definitely a lot to learn. I mean, you can start with your most basic, but I think there are so many variables. And that's one of the things that really impressed me, is really what a science that it is. I mean, these folks, and when you think about it, really are scientists, because the smallest thing can really impact the way that your cheese turns out. And for me, when I first started, I had no idea how many different variables there were. So there's a lot to control, and these cheesemakers are just incredible with what they do.
We're talking right now with Suzanne Fanning. She's Vice President of National Product Communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. June is Dairy Month, and we are learning about all things dairy around our state. And Suzanne brought with her some trivia questions for listeners. You can call in with the answer at 800-642-1234. First question, how many 8-ounce glasses of milk does one dairy cow produce every day? Suzanne, I was way off in my estimate. So I'm hoping a caller can get a little bit closer into the ballpark. Here's another one. How many varieties, types, and styles of cheese are produced in Wisconsin? And I have to reveal, I think I said it earlier. So that is another one. And we have a few more out there as well. There is just a lot of fun facts to know and tell about cheese here in Wisconsin. And Suzanne, we saw a post on Instagram of the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board with Alice in Dairyland celebrating June Dairy Month with glasses of milk. And for those who may not know, who is Alice?
So we actually help select the one person in the state who can kind of help and be a spokesperson for Wisconsin's dairy industry. She works in classrooms. She works tirelessly across the state, just kind of helping get the message out about Wisconsin and all the cool things that we do. So it's an incredible program. It's lots of fun. And this year's Alice has just started. She seems absolutely delightful. And I know last year's worked so hard, just worked tirelessly to kind of help promote Wisconsin's industry. So she was fantastic. It's a wonderful program.
And how is she picked? How is an Alice in Dairyland come to be?
There's a series of different things that she goes through, and there's a panel of judges that at the end of the day actually votes and selects it. And we did have a representative on that panel, and lots of folks in Wisconsin were actually on that panel.
And Alice in Dairyland serves a one-year term, or is it longer?
It does.
1 year. And visiting lots of schools and educating about dairy, is that the goal?
That's right. And then we also have had Alice in Dairyland at a variety of the different farm breakfasts. When I talked about some of the dairy celebrities, she is certainly one of the biggest dairy celebrities.
And so we talked about the farm breakfast, but what other events are going on around the state in Dairy Month in June?
Well, we had Cows on the Concourse last weekend, so that was a big one downtown. There's a variety of just recipe swapping and things like that going on, in general celebrations. We did have World Milk Day. You were talking about the toast that you saw her do, and what we actually had done was participated in a toast that was like across the entire country. So that was kind of fun. So there are all kinds of celebrations that are going on for June Dairy Month.
Let's talk a little bit about recipes. What can we perhaps, are some, you know, out of the box ways we can use dairy in our everyday cooking?
Well, so we have a lot of recipes on our site, and some of the newest ones we just put out in our EPUB called Great Pear Share. So if you go to Great Pear Share, you'll be able to find that. And we have, it's wonderful because in this issue, we're really celebrating Wisconsin. And you'll find a feature in there on the Dane County Farmers Market. And we shop at the Dane County Farmers Market and show how you can create a perfect party cheese board from a day at the farmers market and some of the things that you'll find. We did some beer and cheese pairings with some Wisconsin beers. We did a tour of Door County and took a look at some of the different restaurants that actually serve Wisconsin cheese. And then, of course, we have recipes throughout. Now, one thing that you asked me was, what are some interesting ways? And that's funny because I actually did a little interview on this yesterday, and that's the rise that we're seeing in cheese in ice cream. So it's kind of
what?
A funny combination. I know, right? It's something that's really a growing trend, and I think you're going to see more of. In Great Pear Share, you'll actually find a recipe for a caramel cheddar cheese apple pie ice cream.
A caramel and cheddar cheese. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
So you can't really have apple pie without cheddar cheese, right? So the ice cream is spectacular, just very cinnamony and appley and delicious. And with that hint of cheddar cheese inside it, it's fantastic. We served it to our whole company when we launched the magazine a couple of weeks ago, and it got rave reviews. But we're also just seeing like a blue cheese and pear type of ice cream and things like that. Restaurants are starting to serve it. Ice cream brands are coming out, and certainly people at home are making these different cheese and ice cream combinations. It's really exciting.
And so do you have chunks of cheese in the ice cream, or how is the cheese incorporated into the ice cream?
In some cases, you'll have some little chunks in there, like if you can imagine like a little bit of blue cheese, a little bit of cheddar. In some other cases, though, it's just blended in as an ingredient. Think about like cream cheese, how you would add it and make a delicious popsicle. We have like a swirl popsicle on our website, too. Or you can use mascarpone. That's a big one. It's just absolutely delicious cheese, and it's very smooth and mixes in and just gives you just a decadent ice cream treat.
Wow. And, you know, blue cheese has such a, I guess, a very strong flavor. How can that, does that get tamped down a little bit in the ice cream, or how do those pairings go?
Well, we would just put a little hint in there, but, and some people love it and some people don't. I think it's just a matter of taste. So if you're looking for something just a little bit interesting, a little bit different, it's a fun new trend to try out.
We're talking all things dairy right now with Suzanne Fanning. She's Vice President of National Product Communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Getting your thoughts on dairy as well. Where do you go for your farm breakfast? What have you learned? If you're a dairy farmer, call in and tell us a little bit about the nuts and bolts of what your day is like. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Suzanne, you know, all of these fabulous products just come to be. They're there at the farmers markets. They're in the produce aisles, the cheese areas. But there is a long and labor-intensive journey to getting these dairy products to market. Can you talk a little bit about that process of getting these products to market?
Well, for us, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board is actually a nonprofit organization, and we're funded entirely by the farm families of Wisconsin to help do just that. And so we focus on educational programming, retailer partnerships, and other consumer communication channels to really help inspire some product purchases. So some of the areas that we work in are like in restaurants, because we work with major chains to kind of drive some consumption of dairy products. For instance, Culver now uses 100% of their cheese is actually from Wisconsin. Milk is their kids' default drink, so we're pretty excited about that. And at A&W, you might be surprised to learn that the curds, which are all from Wisconsin, actually outsell the fries.
Wow.
Lots of good stuff there. Domino's actually uses Wisconsin cheese. Hard Rock Cafe uses Wisconsin cheese. And so we really work with our partners to help drive, you know, a lot of extra dollars in Wisconsin cheese sales. And one of our favorite things, and this is something that really is driven by our farmers, they're really interested in the health and wellness of our children. And so they encourage us to do a lot in the school. So we work with Fuel Up to Play 60 to encourage students to exercise, and we help them find ways to choose a healthy diet and to understand how dairy can fit in with that. We work with 4-H programs across the state to kind of talk with them about dairy and what it means. We award grants to FFA students, and we get milk to over 40,000 students in Wisconsin, and our goal is to make them grow up to be lifelong dairy fans.
Is there a go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just going to talk a little bit more about research and training. We had already talked about that before. We talked about the Center for Dairy Research, but we also support Discovery Farms, which helps lead agricultural innovation. We talked a little bit about the Master Cheesemakers. And then we have other education programs that work with, like, chefs, restaurants, distributors, culinary schools to educate them on Wisconsin cheese, the newest kinds, the newest trends, and how to use it. And then, of course, our PR and marketing, which I don't have to tell you about that. a lot of PR going on out there, and a lot of really, really wonderful coverage for Wisconsin cheese, and we're excited to have that. We're glad that everybody wants to talk about it.
Let's take a call now. Jeff in Fond du Lac. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning.
What would you like to add?
I guess I hate to, you know, not to be too negative, but I travel the state and I don't see any more dairy cows outside grazing the beautiful state anymore. And I was just wondering if we could bring that back to see those beautiful cows grazing. I can travel many, many, many miles now and not see any dairy cows anymore. And it's kind of like a missing link to what we're so proud of and what I really miss. I grew up on a dairy farm myself.
Yeah, what was life like on your dairy farm growing up? Did you do a lot of the work?
Yes, I did it for my grandpa and grandma. I stayed with them. And I lived in town. But go out there and sell hay and, you know, have the cows come up and lick you. Just cute stuff, you know. And you kind of, I just don't see that anymore traveling. I travel all over the state. Probably Western Wisconsin probably has more of it, I guess, but I'm up in Fond du Lac and I go through all the way to Milwaukee and you can go and not see a cow. And people, and it's kind of sad, you know, it's part of the beauty of our state. You don't see them walking the hills anymore. It's kind of a nostalgia thing that I miss and I wish I could bring it back more, you know.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks so much for calling in. Suzanne, I mean, he's anecdotally saying he doesn't see that many cows grazing anymore. Do you know anything about that? Do we have less cows, fewer cows?
Well, you know, I would say we have all kinds of farms and lots of different types of practices in Wisconsin. I agree it is wonderful to see the cows outside grazing. I love it. I love to visit the dairy farm. And like I said, we just have lots of different practices. But the one thing that I do know is that these farmers deeply, deeply care for their animals. And that's something that's amazing to see. I mean, they really do take wonderful care of them. So, I'm not sure about the stretch of road where he's driving, but I think we see both. I think we see some incredible barns these days, and then we still see some grazing outside as well.
We're on a dairy tour this hour with Suzanne Fanning, Vice President of National Product Communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Dairy adds about $43 billion to Wisconsin's economy each year. And to put that in perspective, that is more than if you combine the value of citrus to Florida, potatoes to Idaho, apples to Washington, and raisins to California. What do you think about America's Dairyland? What experiences should Wisconsins have on dairy farms? Join in 800-642-1234.
Where did cheese go?
I don't know.
Where did cheese go?
I don't know.
Who moved my cheese? Cheese has long been a source of great pride for the state, but now it's law. Last week, Governor Scott Walker signed a bill making cheese the state's official dairy product. The dairy cow is already the state's official domestic animal. That distinction was bestowed upon the cow in 1971, and milk has been the official state beverage for 30 years. It's Dairy Month. We're talking about all things dairy this hour. I'm Kate Archer-Kent in for Joy Cardine. Wisconsin produces 3 billion, billion pounds of cheese each year. Are you a big cheese lover, cheese consumer? How do you like to cook with cheese? Have you tried cheese ice cream? Do you go to great lengths to get your favorite cheese? Fill us in, 800-642-1234, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Suzanne Fanning stays with us. She's Vice President of National Product Communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, and she's giving us a tour of the dairy in our state. Let's go to the next call now, Denton in the Elvia area. Hi, Denton.
Hi. Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good morning.
I guess I was calling. I grew up on a dairy farm, and then for a while I farmed on my own until, in my situation, the milk prices kind of made me exit the industry. And now I do service work for farmers. And I've really enjoyed seeing how the bigger farms, I see the cow comfort is really there now, like in this hot weather. Some of these barns we work in, the cows, they might not be on pasture, but they just they look so comfortable. The fans are blowing on them, and they have the sprinklers on them. And sometimes I feel like the public doesn't see that side of it a lot. So that's why I really like seeing the dairy breakfast on the farms, that the public can see some of these bigger farms too.
And Denton, is it true that if cows are more comfortable, they're going to stay healthier and produce more milk?
Oh, definitely. On a lot of these farms that I work on, that's their main emphasis. All the mattresses and everything that I see now, and like yesterday the sprinklers were on. We were working outside sweating. We would go in the barn and the cows are lounging, looking very comfortable, without a care in the world. So that's nice to see.
And tell us about the dairy breakfast that you have visited, Denton.
This year, just because of work, I haven't been to one. But in the past, I really like them because I'll mix it up and go to the smaller farms sometimes. So there's a lot of the smaller farms that I really enjoy going to because that's what I grew up on. But on these big ones, I really think that it's neat just to see how much work they can do. And the different ideas that are out there.
What are some of those ideas?
Like right now, this barn that we're working on, instead of having free stalls, they have what's called a bedding pack. So all the cows, they lay on pretty much a big pack of bedding so they can lounge around. They're not confined to stalls.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
They're free to wander around. And then another one, so they have all these fans that go all the way through there instead of just having curtains on the barn. So the air is never just stagnant. It's very fresh all the time. And then some of them have rubber mats so the cows are never actually touching concrete. So it's a lot better on their feet.
Well, Denton, thanks so much for filling us in on the cow's well-being. Suzanne, are you seeing these innovations as well on your end?
Oh, absolutely. The barns are beautiful. I'm always impressed when I go in and see the way that these dairy farmers are caring for the cow.
Well, let's take a quick call, another quick call. Paul in Waukesha. Hi, Paul.
Hello. Yes, I had a question, actually two questions for your guest.
Go ahead.
The first is, there was a whole issue in the news recently about Kerrygold grass-fed butter not being allowed in Wisconsin. What's the stand on that now? Where is that going?
Suzanne?
I don't have any updates on that situation.
Okay. Is there just the fact that it's grass-fed butter and it competes with Wisconsin farmers too much that it's not allowed?
Because we can look into that and give you a call back if that would be helpful. If you want to leave your number, with the station. I'll get somebody to call you back who can address that.
And the other question I had is, I have friends and family in California, and they're able to purchase raw dairy products. We're not able to do that here in Wisconsin. What's the stand there as well? What's holding us up from being able to allow customers to purchase raw products here?
So we do actually have a lot of raw milk cheeses that are available.
Oh, okay.
So those are safe, yeah. So we have some Goudas and some different kinds of raw milk cheeses. And if you go on eatwisconsincheese.com and just put in raw cheeses, you'll be able to see a whole list of them.
Oh, I'll give that a try. And as far as the milk itself, is that anything changing there? Because I really like to be able to get raw milk if you know, family in California does, so I was curious.
I think, you know, for us, the number one thing is definitely keeping consumers safe, from what I understand, and it's not 100% safe. So that would be the issue as I understand it. I mean, we personally, the WMNP doesn't have any control over that, but just as, you know, as the issue goes, I think it's just a matter of consumer safety.
Oh, because I think I've read that California is the largest milk producer in the country. And yet they're able to do that throughout their state. I was curious, well, what actions could we take to maybe allow that to happen here?
You know, I can also follow up with you on some facts about raw milk, if you'd like that, since you're going to leave your information anyway. So we'll just get back and have a whole other conversation.
Great questions, Paul. Thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. As we wrap up here, Suzanne, any final thoughts you can add here on Dairy Month?
The one thing I do want to say, and a lot of people don't realize, is that 96% of Wisconsin dairy farms are family-owned, and I always think that's a really interesting fact.
Wow, yeah, so just a very grassroots industry for sure. Suzanne, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me and giving us a chance to celebrate. I really do think June Dairy Month is a great opportunity for everybody in Wisconsin to celebrate. So thank you so much for having me.
Hope to see you at a farm breakfast soon.
You will.
Suzanne Fanning is Vice President of National Product Communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. That is a Madison-based nonprofit promoting milk, cheese, and other dairy products made in the state. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. By day, Jimmy Vagley runs a fifth-generation dairy farm outside New Glarus with his brother. By night, though, he leads a blues band called the Jimmies. The two jobs have more in common than you might think. Seth Jovag brings us the story.
I have an interesting dichotomy with my two lifestyles that either complement or become a problem with each other, depending on how you look at it. The farm was homesteaded in 1854. My brother and I are fifth generation. We started out with 340 acres, and now we're up to around 1,500 acres. The house is still here. It was built in 1920, so my older brother and two older sisters, we all are raised here. We milk roughly 200 dairy cattle twice a day. My job is an interesting one. I guess I'm kind of the know-everything, not good at anything, kind of a mechanic and fill in with spots, but mostly do a lot of field work, try and keep everything running as best as we can. I am also the band leader of the Jimmies.
Are you out there? We are the Jimmies.
We brilliantly named the band the Jimmies. We thought long and hard on that one.
We're just going to do this, some screwing around here. We hope you like it.
I play the piano in the Hammond B3 and do a lot of the singing and songwriting. Music has been in our family forever. My parents met at one of my dad's gigs. My mom still sings. We often call ourselves the Von Vagley Tramp Singers, you know. Practically want to put on lederhosen sometimes. That's awkward. When you're out in a tractor, I always have paper and pen, constantly writing stuff down. Yeah, it is a great place you can just shut the everything off in terms of music and kind of put your mind into a different trance. As expected, they're very much two different worlds. They're similar in the pay structure. I am not buying new cars, being a blues musician and a dairy farmer, but I think both take an enormous amount of dedication and both take an enormous amount of flexibility. Anything could happen on any given day on the farm, and things change by the minute all the time. And the same as goes for live music. I can't say I've sung to any cows, no.
Thank you, Erica Janik, for bringing us this. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. It is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. You can find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. And remember, June is Dairy Month, and we have links on our website to dairydaysofsummer.com. On our Facebook page, you can also find recipe links and get so much more information on dairy and on farm breakfasts as we celebrate June is Dairy Month here in Wisconsin. The Joy Cardine Show is produced by Brianne Chasseau with technical direction today from Cynthia Schuster. Michelle Johnson is the executive producer. And I'm Kate Archer-Kent, sitting in for a vacationing Joy Cardine, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Coming up Monday at this time, we revisit the landmark Supreme Court case that ended state bans on interracial marriage on the 50th anniversary of the ruling. We'll be talking with the author of the new book, Loving: Interracial Intimacy in America and the Threat to White Supremacy. Hope you can join us for this conversation. That's Monday at 6 right here on the Ideas Network. Also coming up next hour, we'll get analysis about yesterday's testimony by former FBI Director James Comey. After that, two guests offering differing political perspectives and their takes on the top political news this week during the Week in Review.
Smelled that dairy air, hey. Once about Claire, hey. Thought I saw a bear, hey. I had a creep of that state fair, hey. I've been over there.
Green Bay.
Beloit.
Across.
Mountain.
Superior.
I've been over there, hey. Smelled that dairy air, hey.